we'll be looking at today, Jesus Christ, the Master Innovator. Now, come with me and let's go to the book of John, the Gospel according to John. Gospel according to John. And we look at John chapter 2. There is an interesting story, and I pray that it will be very simple enough that we will all comprehend and see something in that story. Now, this story is the first miracle that Jesus ever performed after he was baptized in that Jordan River. And he left the Jordan River, and the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him, and he was led into the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights to be tempted of the devil. And then he returned in the power of the Spirit after those 40 days. And then he began to recruit, let me put it that way, began to tell some people to follow him. And they began to follow him. They are the people known as his disciples. And the Bible now said something happened here in John chapter 2. I will read the story from verse 1 to 11. Please listen, and listen like you've never heard this story before. And I pray that our understanding will be enlightened and open to see a divine innovation that Jesus did here. John chapter 2, I read from verse 1, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, on the third day, there was a wedding in the Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Thank God for mothers. You will see what this mother did shortly. Verse 2 says, now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Verse 6, now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Verse 7, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, verse 10, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, final verse. This beginning of signs Jesus did in the Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus Christ, the Master Innovator. Now, when we read stories like this, I don't know what comes to mind, and I'm sure most of us have heard this story before. Some people have used this story to go into unnecessary debate and stupid arguments, whether drink wine or don't drink wine, whatever it is. But listen, it's not about the drinking of wine or not drinking of wine. There is a divine story. There are some lessons to learn from this. Now, when you look at this story, what Jesus did here was something new, never done before. something incomprehensible. How can water be turned into wine? And let's go back to our definitions from last week. What is an innovation? What we see here is Jesus doing something new, and an innovation, like we learned last week, that's the normal Google dictionary translation. An innovation is a new idea, a new method, or a device, or the introduction of something new. That's what an innovation is. So Jesus here introduces something that's never happened before. But then I give us another definition. This definition inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, what do I mean by inspired by the Holy Spirit? You see, when you read Job chapter 32, verse 8, it will help you to see a higher level that every one of us can operate in. And what is that higher level? We can operate in the spiritual. Now, the spiritual is just the unseen realm. And you see, everything happening that we can see, right, is created and controlled by the unseen realm. The world we live in, unseen forces are controlling, manipulating, directing. You see, everything you see, first of all, began in the unseen. The baby you are carrying in your hand, first of all, was unseen until confirmed. And then began to grow. And then one day they showed you the scan and then you saw it. But the baby began in the unseen realm. It's a principle of life. Everything begins first in the unseen realm. It's called the supernatural. It's called the spiritual. Job chapter 32 verse 8 says that there is a spirit in man. It's the inspiration of the Almighty. That's the inspiration of God, the breath of God that brings understanding. Let me tell you, whether you believe there's a God or you believe there's no God, where did everything come from? Where, you know, scientists have told you and told every one of us there was a Big Bang. The scientists who told us there was a Big Bang, were they there when the bang was banging, was bigging, or whatever? Were they there? They told you. They told me. You believed it. No arguments. Okay. What caused the Big Bang? How did the bang got big? And so big that it banged. Banged so loud that it's still banging in some people's ears till today. Listen. Unseen. The words that I'm even speaking to you. Can you see my words? But you can hear me. Words are spiritual. Just with mere words, I can make you laugh without touching you or tickling you. With mere words, I can make some people cry without touching or doing anything. Just words. There is so much power in the spiritual realm. People who understand this principle have tapped into the spiritual realm and they are doing things. What is an idea? Excuse me. Is an idea something you see? It's something you think. It comes right there in the unseen, and then somebody brings it from the unseen into the seen. So Jesus, the Bible tells us, if you want to understand how Jesus operates, how Jesus turned that water into wine, then you need to understand the progression of his life. Listen, you've heard of the Immaculate Conception. How was Jesus born? How was he conceived? Read the story of Mary, his mother. If you read it, the account is in the Bible. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God came upon her and she conceived and a child was born. And that child, Jesus. And right there, the angel told her, this child will save the world. This child has come to save mankind. In another place, this child is a symbol that God is with us. Emmanuel. I can see Manuela at the back there. That's the female Emmanuel, God with us. And Emmanuela was born on the 14th of February, tomorrow, on St. Valentine's Day. Emmanuela, I saw you the day you were born. I will never stop sharing that story. Amen. Amen. That's a Valentine baby at the back there. All right. Okay. So, Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, Jesus traced his story. The next time, he was brought after 8 days into the temple to be dedicated. And then we see him again when he was 12 years old, talking to doctors, scribes. And then we see him next time when he was 30. He came to a river, Jordan, and the Bible said everybody was coming to that river, Jordan, to be baptized by a man called John the Baptist. And one day Jesus also, like everybody, came. And the Bible records that when he came, listen, he was baptized like everybody. And to be baptized means that they were immersed inside that river. So John, just picture John the Baptist was standing in the river Jordan and people were just coming. And he was telling them, this baptism is baptism of repentance. What does that mean? The kingdom of God is at hand. Every one of us, repent. Return back to your maker. Return back to God. And he was doing that and people were coming. People were repenting. People were asking for forgiveness of their sins. And they were asking John, what should they do? He was telling everybody what to do. Soldiers, stop being wicked to people. Tax collectors, stop cheating people. He was telling them what it means to repent. Have a change of mind. Have a change of thinking and start living right. That is the real meaning of repentance. Repentance doesn't mean you're sorry. You can be sorry and not have a change of mind. But when you are really repentant, it means you've had a change of mind. You've looked at the things you're doing. And you know what? It's not worth it. I wonder. So what John was literally saying was, everybody, return back to God. The kingdom of God is at hand. And one secret that John also knew, because God sent him to be baptizing people, was that this baptism, one day, the Savior of mankind will also come to this river Jordan. And here comes Jesus on a certain day. And the Bible said he was baptized by John the Baptist. And as he was coming out of that water, the Holy Spirit came upon him, the Spirit of God, like a dove descended on him. A voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, why did I take pain to tell you that story? Because from that moment, Acts chapter 10 verse 38 captures what happens. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible says that how God anointed Jesus, please note that, of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about divinely innovating, doing good. This, John chapter 2, was after what happened to Jesus. Jesus now, he came from Nazareth to be baptized, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Job chapter 32, verse 8, there is a spirit in man. You see, when the Spirit of God comes upon a man, the spirit of that man comes alive. The spirit of that man is connected, reconnected to God by spirit, breath, by spirit. Listen, that's the real you. Because the moment your spirit goes, you have no relevance on this earth anymore. It's not your body. Your body is just like an earth suit, the suitcase that contains you. The real you is your spirit. And listen, so the Spirit of God comes and from that day begins to inspire Jesus to do good. The Bible says he went from that river Jordan and he went about doing good. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. And healing everybody who was oppressed of the devil. There was the evil one in the world, present in the world. And the evil one is also a spirit. See those nasty thoughts that runs through your mind. Those evil, wicked thoughts that runs through your mind, they are also unseen. But these are the unseen forces that try to control us. But when you have the Spirit of God, The Bible describes the Spirit of God as is a good spirit. Describes the Spirit of God as the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit that will lead us, teach us everything, guide us into all truth, the Spirit of God. That's what the Spirit of God does. So Jesus began to be inspired by the Spirit of God to begin to innovate. So by divine innovation, Jesus captures it. What do we mean? Back to the definition on the slide. Divine innovation is the application of a new idea, a new method, a device, through the inspiration, wisdom, help, and power of the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit that now brings benefits and healing to mankind. So when I am divinely innovating, it means that the Spirit of God is inspiring me to begin to do good things, to begin to undo wicked things, to begin to make life better for people. That's what we see in Jesus. If you look at the story of Jesus, Jesus went about doing good. He will see the blind, heal the blind. He will see the lame, make the lame walk. He will see the sick. He will make the sick become get their healing. He will see paralyzed people, and he will raise them up. That is what Jesus was doing. He was divinely innovating. So the first divine innovation here. Next week, I'll show us some principles. How you and I can operate if we understand these principles and follow the pattern. But today, let's see what Jesus did there and what can we glean from this example. So I will take us line by line. What was going on? Listen, there was a wedding. Okay? There was a wedding. And at that wedding, of course, the man and the woman, the bride and the groom, their family, their invited guests, and good enough, they invited Jesus' mother, Mary, and Jesus himself and his disciples. So the wedding was taking place in a place called Cana of Galilee. That's what was happening there. And then all of a sudden, the wine finished. I don't know if you've been in a wedding before and the supply, the food ran out or the drinks ran out. I remember it almost happened to us when my wife and I were getting married. They told us it looks like the drinks will not be enough. And I remembered, you know, it was quite embarrassing. I pray it won't happen to you. But then I witnessed one before our wedding. I was asked by a friend of mine to be his best man at his wedding. Please, next time they ask you to be a best man, you better know what you are doing best. Because I did not realize that being a best man is really hard work. Now, my friend came to me on his wedding day, ran to me. Allison, his eyes were bloodshot, red. He told me he had not slept. I said, why have you not slept? He said, because all my supplies for money, gone. My uncle that promised me money just told me, no money for you. The business I did that I thought will finance my wedding, now they've not paid me and they said they can't pay me until next month. I'm getting married today. Where are we going to get the money to buy, you know, all the supply, to pay the person who will supply, who will bring the cow, pay the people who are decorating the hall, because he had paid half, but now, I'm telling you, when you hear things like that, you better know how to divinely innovate. I remembered, and thank God that I prayed before I accepted being his best man. Even before he came to me, God had told me he was going to come to me. So I was prepared in a sense, but I didn't know what I was signing up for. Immediately, I knew this was a big, huge problem. And in my mind, the first thing, you see, I've got my background is engineering and construction. So as an engineer, you are told that an engineer solves problems. So how do we solve problems? We create solutions. So I thought he was panicking, he was shivering. and where he was even going to get married was another city away. He ran to my house in the morning. I said, all right, you know what? Let's start with what we have. We will see that principle in this story. Because everything Jesus used to turn that water to wine was already in that wedding venue. We're going somewhere. So I said, my friend, let's start with what we have. I said, what do we have now? He told me, that's why I came here, nothing. I said, all right. At least I've got some change in my pocket. Now you're not looking like a groom. So I took him, we ran to a barbing saloon, and I told the barber, this man is getting married today. He said, really? I said, well, I'll paint him up. I just touched the guy up. I said, just do everything you can do. How much is it? We could afford it. So they gave him a nice haircut. They washed his face, put powder. He was now looking like a bride. Sorry, groom. I said, all right, from here to the city where you're getting married, how much will transport you there? And we calculated. I said, you know what? I know I'm your best man, and I'm meant to be there. So we were doing what was known as the first traditional marriage, where the two families will meet before we go to church. So I said, I don't care. I can miss that one. I'm not the one getting married. Thank God. You are the one getting married. Here's money. Get yourself to that venue. At least the introduction, I began to think. And I got another friend. We said, what do we have? We looked at what we had. We put everything together. And then we looked at the next thing. Who do we know? It was so embarrassing. We began to drive around that city. I began to go to everybody we knew. And I had a ready-made statement. My friend is getting married in a few hours. He doesn't have money. What do you have in your house? Anything you have. Anything. Please give us. And like magic. Oh, sorry, I don't have much. I said anything. We got some money here. Started driving again. So we were looking. We made a list of people that we knew in the city. We started driving around. Friends, people we had relationship with. And the guy made one statement. I wasn't a pastor then, Allison. He said, most of the people I know are pastors. He said, you know, and pastors don't have money. I said, well, let's just go anywhere. So we were able to scrape something. I said, all right, you know what? With what we've been able to scrape, run to the place. At least this will pay the people who are supplying the food. So he ran ahead. I was still driving around, and I remembered the wedding suit.
Food's more important.
The suit. It was still at the tailor's. And the tailor told me, please don't come back here to tell me stories. So I went to the tailor, and I told him a story. And he said, I'll never forget, you know what? Okay, I will bring the suit personally. Just give me the address of the wedding place. I will bring it personally. Wow, I was so happy. Thank God this guy is cooperating. He said, well, when you pay me the balance, I will release the suit. This guy meant it. And that's what he did. I said, all right, deal. At least I know the suit arrived at the venue. How it will get on both of us, when we get to that bridge, we will cross it. So anyway, I missed the first set of the, you know, ceremony. And then we went. So when we got there, by the time we got there, we gathered friends and we began to cry to God for help. We began to cry to God for mercy. What kind of embarrassment is this? I was noting things in my head. My goodness, Lord, this must not happen to me. In fact, I started getting scared of getting married. I didn't know my wife then. And I began to think, what's even all this ceremony? What's all this ceremony? Can't I just take anybody and just say, I do, and we go. What's all this nonsense? You know, bam! We started crying to God for mercy. On the day of wedding, we realized he didn't have a shoe. Divine innovation. I looked at my shoe. I said, bro, it looks like we're the same size. Well, I was 10, he was 11. I said, well, there's a way 11 can divinely fit into. He tried it on. Of course, his feet expanded my shoe. I said, no, you have this. I don't care. Let me, you are the groom. All right? I'm not the one getting married. You know, some of us, we go to some people's wedding and we want to outshine the people. We don't even know if it's you getting married. The way you are even dancing, you outdance. Oh, God. Anyway, leave that. I gave him my shoe. All right? I gave him my shoe. So he wore my shoe. Mr. Taylor was there with the wedding suit. So I went again and told him a very emotional, heart-touching story. I said, sir, bro, imagine this is you getting married. Just imagine. He said he knows it's very embarrassing. That's why he came here. He said, okay, he will show us mercy. He said, but he gives me 3 days after the wedding. If we don't pay him his balance. I said, don't worry. We will pay you your balance. The power of words. Remember, we solve problems. All right? So he released the wedding suit. So Mr. Bridegroom wore the suit with my divinely provided shoe. I just, thank God, I had some spare shoe. So I wore my own spare shoe, wore the suit, and then we went for the wedding. And then the reception started. And then they came to whisper to us, well, there are no drinks. I said, but what about the food? They said they were able to get the people with the food to bring the food. They spoke to them to bring the food. So they too are waiting for their balance. I said, don't worry. God will provide. Have you heard that statement before? You say it to console yourself, isn't it? Anyway, so the food was there. We did all the ceremony. We were praying, God, have mercy. God, please take away reproach. Oh, Lord, mercy. So a divine idea came, Dr. Uche. Dr. Uche, go and note this somewhere. You might need it someday. Dr. Lucky, all those of you, you are not lucky, you'll be blessed. Don't worry. I just thought there's something called the wedding dance. When the groom and the bride would, so we just said, let's push that forward. And you know, in Nigeria, where I come from originally, when people are doing that, guess what? Some people want to flex. They want to show you they got money. So when the groom and the bride are dancing, they will just come, Allison, and they'll just be spraying you money. So we got the flower girls or whatever they call the ladies, whatever. What do they call them? Bride. Those ladies that always follow, you know, the bride. I don't know why they're always following the bride anyway. Told them, as they are spraying the money, before it hits the ground, pick it. They were picking the money, bang, drinks. Drinks. As they were, we made sure they overdanced that day. Bro, just keep dancing. Keep dancing. Just keep. No, they didn't used to dance like that in those days. They kept dancing. More people were coming. Ah, please, please, come on, please, spray. Spray. And they were dancing. The wife too was dancing, 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 dancing. The more they danced, the more they sprayed. Got money. We bought drinks. Everybody drank. And that's how we had that wedding. But then I still have a problem with the tailor. You will hear part two next week. Let's go back to Jesus. Now there's something Jesus said. Jesus shares a secret with us in John chapter 5, verse 19. He says, I say to you, The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus was saying, see, I don't do anything except what I've seen my Father, that's God, do. When you have a connection with God through your spirit, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, the Spirit of God will begin to reveal things unseen. Ideas, they come in form of ideas. They come in form of thoughts. What I just shared with you, while we were praying, those thoughts were coming. Get them to dance. People will spray. That's the money for the drinks. We were praying. I just wanted to be real with you and be very practical because we read stories and we're wondering. So Jesus was connected in the spirit to the Father, to God. And God was given ideas. Now listen, let's see what Jesus now did and understand some of these nuggets. Now, what was the problem? The problem was the wine had finished at the wedding. And thank God, listen, prior to this time, they knew Jesus as Jesus the carpenter from Nazareth. Some people who were probably fortunate to be at that River Jordan when the Spirit of God came upon him and they heard what John the Baptist said about him, that now that's the Savior of the world. Some of them started following him. They were his disciples. But then there was one person who held the key, his mother. The mother knew what nobody knew. Because when Jesus was conceived in her womb, it was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told her, the Spirit of God told her what this child will do. And she had watched the young man, Jesus, for 30 years of his life. Remember when he was 12? And he was found in the temple, saying things that were beyond the 12-year-old. Let me tell us. You see the Arabs and all these young people coming here, a 3-year-old Arab, leading us in daily declaration, memorizing the scriptures. You think that is ordinary? Introduce your children early to the Spirit of God. If you don't introduce them early to the Spirit of God, the world will introduce them to another spirit. That is what's happening in our schools. That is all the thoughts they are planting in their heads. Listen, my wife and I were driving to church this morning for this service, and I was saying, you know, one of the things the pandemic has done is that it's made some of us comfortable. And I'm not saying this, right, to make anybody at home feel bad. I said it's made the adults so comfortable, you know, just sit on your sofa, switch on your device, and, you know, join the online service. That's the new normal, huh? All right? Okay? So you sit down with your children. But I was telling her, the adults can get away with this and be comfortable, but you are keeping those children at home. They will go to school Monday to Friday, but you won't bring them to church where they are exposed to the things of the Spirit of God. Please think about your children, parents. The Bible says that it's the duty of the parents to train up their children in the way which they should go. When they are old, they will not depart. If you teach them to sit down and teach them that the only place they can go out to and mingle, whether there's COVID or no COVID, nobody talks about that. Oh, I don't bring them to church because they can catch COVID in church. They didn't catch it in school. It's in church, they will catch it. Yeah. Right? Don't you think you should have a rethink? And excuse me, Monday to Friday, what do they throw inside the heads of those children? What do they plant inside there? Yeah. You don't want to know. I'm a teacher. Mm. I can tell you, You do not, everything that is anti-God, everything in the name of education, Monday to Friday, planted, implanted, trained, programming our children. But where we reprogram and reset, you don't bring them. Think about this, people. Anybody watching from home? I just needed to say that by the Spirit of God. Now, let's go back to Jesus. The mother knew what nobody knew. And the mother went to Jesus. Please note, it wasn't the couple that went to Jesus. Jesus, help us! Because they didn't really know who Jesus was and what Jesus was capable of doing. That is why faith comes by what we know. What we know. The disciples followed him, because you will see something further down. They were following him based on what John said. They did not have a personal encounter. They didn't really know Jesus, because it was after this first miracle that the Bible said he manifested his glory and his disciples believed on him. So they were just followers before. They were not believers. You can follow someone, doesn't mean you believe what they do. You can follow somebody to church, like my very good friend, followed his auntie, who paid for the full business gospel businessman fellowship. They preached the gospel, they ate a nice meal, they had nice music, and they said, please, anybody who wants to give their life to Jesus, because this is the ultimate reason why we put on this. And he felt, my auntie has paid for so much. She spent so much. She bought the ticket. I followed her. Come on, let me be nice to my auntie. So he gave his life to Christ. In quote, he followed the auntie, never believed. Of course, gave his life to Christ and took it back when they were going home. The mother went to Jesus and said, listen to this, divine innovation. They have no wine. Do you know what Jesus said? What's that got to do with me? It's not yet my time. Do you know the woman, the mother, did not argue with him? Listen, listen. Please note this. Any time you go to Jesus becomes the time. Any time you invite Jesus into your problem, your life, into that situation, that circumstance, even though it's not yet time, it becomes the time. You are bringing eternity into the realm of human chronological timing. And there is a higher law. The higher law is always overcoming the lesser law. Excuse me, the law of gravity says that anything that goes up comes down. The law of gravity says nothing can fly in the sky. Unless you're a bird. And some people, an idea came to their head. Let's kind of build a metal that can contain people flying in the sky. They said it's not possible. Listen, I'm somebody, and a little, you know, some people who work with me know a bit of me. The moment you tell me something is not possible, then you are looking for my trouble. In fact, that gingers me. Oh, no, 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 Pastor, it can't be done. No, it's not done like that. I don't care. Excuse me, do you know those 6 water pots that were at that wedding venue? Do you know what they were for? They were for washing. That's the Jewish tradition. Anytime there's a meal, they wash. Anytime there's a religious program, event, the water pots were for purification. That's what they were for. Excuse me, that's what they were for. The norm was that that water, that those water pots is for cleansing, for purification. Jesus went against the norm. Divine innovators are not people who try to get things back to the norm. They are people who try to get things back to better, not back to norm. The pandemic hit the whole world. And people, some people are struggling. Let's get back to normal. You are wasting your time. Get back to normal. And you are trying to do everything to get back to normal. No, don't get back to normal. Let's get back to better. Let's start innovating. Somebody came up with Zoom. We are all on Zoom now. Aren't we? We'll be on Zoom this evening, 6 p.m. We'll be praying. Divine innovation. The person who invented Zoom is not trying to get us back to normal. Let's all gather and come in the evening. And we gather together and we pray physically. Because it says where two or three are gathered in my name. They are, excuse me, let me tell you something. Do you know two or three or more or five, 10 of us, 50 of us can gather and not agree? And God won't be there. It's not about the physical gathering. It's about the understanding and the spiritual gathering. Excuse me, when we gather to pray, we're not gathering to pray in a physical location. We're gathering to pray to God in the spirit. That was the back and forth discussion Jesus was having with that woman in John chapter 8. Where do we worship? Is it John chapter 4? Thank you, Ura. Where do we worship? Your fathers, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You people, you Jews came and you said, it's in Jerusalem. Jesus said, God is looking for true worshipers. Location, not in the mountain, not in Jerusalem, in the spirit. In the spirit. Where is the spirit? Everywhere. The Bible says, I will that men will pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And this is not a joke. I receive more revelation most times when I'm in the bathroom. I'm telling you. Because I'm in the bathroom, Dr. Jojo, nobody's there. I lock myself in there. And everywhere is quiet. And I'm connected and I'm listening. And God is speaking to me. I go in there with my notebook because I go against the norm. What do you go and do in the bathroom normally? Number one. Number two, or get a shower. I go against the norm. I go there to hear the Spirit of God. That's divine innovation. You go against the norm. The normal thing for those water pots was not for wine. They were for washing. If Jesus, that somebody, hey, Jesus, what are you talking? Those water pots, it's never done. It is never, hey, water pot washing, hey. No. The mother who knew Jesus went to Jesus. Jesus said, it's not yet my time. She didn't argue with Jesus. She went to the servants. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. I will tell you something about servants. Listen, it takes servants who are ready to serve to receive divine innovation, instructions. Listen, there is something. Those servants who were there knew what those water pots were for. In fact, their job was to look after those water pots, make sure there's water enough, serve everybody at the wedding, make sure everything is in place. They knew the purpose of the water pots. They could have simply told Jesus, what did Jesus tell them? Go and fetch water. Pour it into those water pots. Okay? They obeyed. Why? Because they were servants, not masters. Some of us, it's your master's degree that is preventing you from hearing the master's decree. And I have masters. I know what I'm talking. Do you know how many years I spent in university? Do you know how many years? This didn't come to, this is my certificate. What do you mean? Do you know what a certificate represents? It represents your past, not your present. Not your present. Ask doctors before the generation of doctors Uche. What those doctors in those days knew? Technology, advancement, more discovery. So every doctor needs to keep retraining. Do you know some doctors now, experts now, are actually apologizing for the COVID-19 and all this stuff? Experts, professors, publicly. Oh, we got it wrong. We got it wrong. Sorry. We should have not done this. Why? Because they have masters. They have PhD. But they can't hear the master's decree or the God of all knowledge, who knows what nobody knows. It takes a servant to be able to divinely innovate. It takes everyone who's ready to drop that master's degree and surrender themselves to the master. Lord, I know I read this in school. I know I studied, but there's a problem. Help. Jesus did not talk to the masters. He spoke to the servants. So they fetched the water. Where was the water? It was there. Where were the pots? They were there. The same thing you are looking at. If you can listen to God, God will give you ideas. The same thing. The same thing. When we hear divine innovation, oh yeah, we just do abracadabra. The more you see, the less you see. Boom. And then something just comes. You just conjure. That's not divine. You use the same thing with the inspiration of God. You transform the same thing. You go against the norm. Last week we spoke. My wife wearing a wristwatch, turned to Fitbit to look at so that every bit of you can be fit. It started as a wristwatch, long hand, short hand to tell the time. Don't worry, iPad generation. Some of you don't know what a wristwatch really is. The original wristwatch made in Switzerland. The norm, you wear that thing in your hand, and the long hand points to the hour. Is it? The short hand, sorry. You see now. I've been corrupted. Divinely, innovatedly corrupted. No apologies. That's what it was for. That was the norm. And then somebody comes, no, I'm going against the normal thing a wristwatch should do. I began to turn that into a Fitbit to measure your temperature, to measure your direction, to whatever it was. Mobile phone. I'm still very behind in mobile phone. I'm still very old school with mobile phone. Do you know how many things you can do on a mobile phone now? Yes, T-Bro, you want to say something? Sorry, can you give him a mic so that the people at home can hear? When a child is asking questions, I've learned to stop. You know what? I realize I learn more than from children than adults. Children, their minds are still pure. They think crazily. Easily, they can listen to God. What you know is what's hindering you from hearing God. Yes, sir. Please, switch the mic on for him. The question you have, that's what happened in the temple, Ezekiel. 12-year-old Jesus walks there and he was asking questions. The doctors, they stood there and they were listening. The responses he was giving was blowing their minds. Yes, sir.
Does that mean divine innovation means a super advancement?
A super
advancement.
Advancement. Of course, that's what it is.
So when you were talking about the watch.
The what?
The watch.
The watch?
Yeah. So that means before they invented the watch, they were using the sun as a time. So from the sun, they went to the watch, then to the Fitbit, then before you know, you have a QWERTY.
Did you hear that? Yeah. Before the watch, they were using the sun. And then?
They went to the watch.
That's right. And it kept on advancing and advancing. And by the time... You're as old as me with white beard. Only God knows what the, maybe the wristwatch will be flying now. Thank you, sir. Yes. All right, let me close. Let me close. Everything Jesus used was there at the venue. He went against the norm. He saw the same water pot, the same water, and everybody saw water and pot for purification. Jesus saw water and pot for new wine. Servants, pour water. They filled it to the brim. Listen, I searched and searched, and I got an idea. Do you know they poured fresh water in there? God pours new wine into new wine skin. So if you want to maintain your old school, you are not open for innovation. This is how we do it. Do you know, that's the way some of us talk to our children. When were you born? The child just has one crazy idea. Very crazy. No! You shut the child's creativity down. Please don't get me wrong, children. I know we think outrageously at times. But I've learned to listen to children. Because the Bible, when it was describing the Spirit of God, it compares the Spirit of God as a little child leading them. It says, except you and I are converted and become as little children, we will not enter. We will not begin to enjoy the themes, the ideas that the Spirit of God will bring. Childlikeness. Where I am open, Lord, I know nothing except what you say to me. Foolish ideas, foolish things. The Bible says God makes the foolish things, uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wisdom of the wise. How foolish is it? Pour water into a pot for purification. Look at the next crazy thing. Take the water, go and serve it to the governor. A servant does not argue with his master. That's how you know a servant. There's something about servanthood. Do you know the Bible says Jesus himself, though he were a son, he became a servant. So that anything the master says, yes, sir. It sounds foolish. Yes, sir. How stupid is it? You want to pull down the walls of Jericho and God says, go and march around 7 times. Don't say anything. 7 days, march around 7 times and shout. And the wall came down. I'm an engineer. There's no scientific engineering theory that can explain that. Because the spiritual controls the natural. Do you want to be someone that God can use to divinely innovate? Become a child. Surrender your master's degree for the master's decree. Let's just stop here today. I have so many things to share, but let's stop. Please, Franklin, can you play something? Let's just bow our heads. I don't know what you heard. One of the things that hinder people from getting saved is their brain. How can just believing in my heart and confessing with my mouth bring salvation? How do you believe the Big Bang Theory Somebody said it. Were you there? The person who said it, were they there when the bang was beginning? It's called faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those who come to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. I sense the Lord is asking some of us, can you put that brain down now? I gave you that brain. I am wiser than you. Surrender all to me. And I will begin to give you a new heart, said the Lord. I will pour my new spirit inside you. It's a heart matter, people. God is changing hearts. Maybe you're here. Say, what do I do? Just ask. Change my heart, oh God. Just ask. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I give me a new heart. He says, I will take away that stony heart. I will give you a new heart. And I will pour a new spirit. But you need to surrender. You need to let go. You need to release everything you know, everything you have. Lord, all that I am, all that I have, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. The Spirit of God will begin to come upon you. Fill you, fill your new vessel. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. Surrender. Surrender all to him. That's the first place to start from. Will you surrender? Just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. God, I may not know you up to this moment. But Lord, right now, I surrender to you. Just, you are my source. Who is God? You're asking. He's the creator. He's the source of everything. He's the source of your life. Return to him today. Return. Surrender. Just release yourself. Please, as the music goes, just talk. Pour your heart out. Some of us are in a crisis situation. it is the same thing you have that God will use to take you out of that crisis, saith the Lord. Lord, open my eyes to begin to see the solution through the things I have already. Open my eyes. That's for some of us to pray. Oh, there's so much God is doing right now. If only you release yourself and allow Him. You are not too young. Listen, you're not too young. And it's never too late. If you can hear my voice, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. God is saying to somebody, return to me. Return to me. Just return. Just return. Okay.